this morning, I thought it would be nice to continue looking at the subject of prayer. I've been sharing about that last number of fellowships. And let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Prayer is such a huge thing in God's Word. All the prophets of the old all prayed. Jesus Christ prayed. All the apostles prayed. Prayer has been around for a long time. It doesn't say that Adam prayed, but he may have. I would think he would have. But hi, Chris. I just see Chris in there. Good morning. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And we looked at this verse a few weeks back. Supplications basically means a petition to God or asking to God for specific things in your life. The word prayers there is a word just to speak out, but it's directed to God. It's speaking to God. And then intercessions are petitions that we give to God, much like supplications, only for others. For instance, Susan hasn't been well, so when she prays and asks God for healing and strength, that's a supplication. If I do it or you do it, that's an intercession. You're praying on behalf of someone else, asking God, beseeching God for a specific item or items for someone or a group of people. And prayer is just such a big thing in all phases. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, this is a great verse, and it's something that God wants us to do as far as, you know, praying. It's very specific here. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's as clear as it can be. You know, that God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray for the believers. Praying in the Spirit is described in 1 Corinthians 14 as speaking in tongues. We can pray in our understanding, which we just did in English, and we can pray in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. And we're to do that with all perseverance and supplications for the saints, the believers. And then in Romans chapter 8, another very familiar verse of scripture concerning intercessory prayer. Just want to share, go over more specifics on intercessory prayer. We went over this last time. But verse 26 of chapter 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not, and this is the infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this is intercessory prayer by way of speaking in tongues. And one of the greatest things that we can do for one another is to speak in tongues for one another, because the Spirit of God in us knows what we need. And, you know, a lot of times we don't even know what we need for our own selves. You know, I'm sure I've been there many times. I don't know what's the matter with me, but I need something. You know, that Spirit of God covers so much stuff. So much stuff. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. We looked at this one as well last time. This is a great example of a believer in the Old Testament. first century church, who had a love for the Colossians. He was a Colossian person for the Colossian believers, right? And his name was Epaphras. Maybe his nickname might have been Ep or Epa, who knows? But Epaphras, chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That man labored fervently to bless those believers, and he did it by one of the ways he did it was by way of prayer. He prayed for those people and prayed for those people. What an incredible man he must have been. And there are so many people like that that are, you know, alive today. There are believers that pray for others. I mean, we do that in our within ourselves, in our own fellowship. And we pray for each other. We're all very faithful to that. But here it's in the scriptures as a great example. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. So what I'd like to do is just go through the scriptures. These are all familiar with you, and just see how much prayer is. It's just all over the place. In regular prayers, intercessory prayers, supplications, and in specifically for intercessory prayer, our primary concern with intercessory prayer, but not our only, but our primary, would be towards God's people. The church, the believers, the body of Christ. God's primary concern is that we pray for one another in an intercessory prayer. It doesn't mean we don't pray for others. We pray for others because it helps them get born again, helps them become whole. It, you know, like when we pray for our country, which our country needs a lot of prayer for things, that's an intercessory prayer. And there are a lot of believers in our country. But we don't just pray for God's people only, but that's our primary concern with intercessory prayer. It's just so big, this praying stuff. So Acts 1, we're just going to go through the scripture, not book by book, but we're going to, I made it really easy to go through because we're going in order, so to speak. So Acts chapter 1, verse 14, this is right after the ascension, that 10-day period between Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and the day of Pentecost, and the about 120 people, the believers that were still standing on God's word after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. They were in Jerusalem as they were instructed to do by God, by Jesus Christ. And this is one of the things that they were doing. It says, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It was sort of a limbo time in some ways. They did a lot of things during then. They figured out who to replace Judas. They were waiting for the promise of the gift of Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ directed. They were waiting with patience, and they were waiting with prayer. They were sort of neutral, waiting to get put in first gear, so to speak, you know, waiting for that go sign. And they knew it was coming, the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit, but they didn't know when. They just knew it was soon, which was what was directed by Jesus Christ. So they spent their days in prayer as part of what they did. It must have been important. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John going up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. As we know, there were 5 hours a prayer every day in the according to the law, and this was the hour of prayer that we're on. It was the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was one of the prayer times, and you know, they were going to pray. It was an important thing to do. Let's go to chapter 4. the word starting to be spoken more and more. People are believing it, and because of that, the religious leaders were getting a bit upset. The Sadducees were getting upset, and they, after this great healing that was in chapter 3, the lame man that couldn't walk got jumped up and was walking, they got upset, and they put Peter and John in prison for the night, in jail, and then they got him out the next day, lectured him, and said, don't talk about this stuff anymore, and they get back with the believers, and in verse 23, we read, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. So they're not a reaction, but their action after hearing of what happened to Peter and John was they went to God in prayer together. And then verse 29, towards the end of it, it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So things happened with that prayer. Those prayers didn't just drop down out of the ground, out of the sky, after they hit about 50 feet up in the air and fall back down. They went to God's ears, and things were happened because of those, the prayer of those believers in that meeting. Acts chapter 6, the word continues to be spoken. More and more people are believing the word of God. And there was a logistic problem in that there were so many people that there weren't enough believers to help take care of those newly born again believers and to help the word of God get established in their hearts and lives. And so some people were falling through the cracks and things were being missed. And so they realized they needed to make some adjustments, which they did by way of going to God and getting revelation as to what to do. And in verse 3 of chapter 6, part of their answer is, the apostles here, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. This was the guidance that they got to do. Pick seven men. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the prayer must have been important in their understanding. If in the growth and outreach of God's word, they weren't going to drop that to do some of the logistics in the physical realm. Both are needed, for sure. But they had an insight and understanding that prayer was very, very important for them to continue to do for God's people. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. I always love this record. The believers banding together to pray for Peter when he was captured by Herod. This is the word God's continuing to get even more spoken and more people believing. And the pushback against the word of God being spoken and believed is getting greater. And in chapter 12, a horrible thing happened. Verse 1, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He wanted to hurt the church because he knew politically it would favor him with the Jews. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, those are easy words to read, but they're painful to understand. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He had him murdered. He basically apprehended James had them murdered, and that's horrible. It'd be just horrible. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and it was almost Passover time. So once he saw it excited the Jews, he's now moving to take Peter, and he did take Peter, and it must have taken the believers at that time off by surprise when he suddenly just took James and had him killed. And now that they're taking Peter, they're like, whoa, this can't happen again. And here's what they did. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, is the word for Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So, yes, they were caught off guard, apparently, with James, but they were not going to be caught off guard with Peter. And what did they do? They started praying continually. The church banded together in prayer, and miraculously, God worked it out. He sent an angel to go get Peter, got him out of jail, woke him up, got him where he walked right out. The angel opened up the iron gate for him, took his shackles off. Peter at first was thinking he was dreaming. And in verse 11, it says, and when Peter has come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And he showed himself there. Must have been a time of joy and rejoicing that they saw God's great deliverance from Peter being apprehended but not murdered. And prayer had a big factor in that. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Prayer had a big factor in that. Those people were praying in an intercessory way for Peter's life, his safety, his well-being. And God worked it out that he got out of there. Incredible. If the believer said, I don't care. I don't know. Peter got out. Chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your believing is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's serving with his spirit and in that prayer. That's that speak in tongues, intercessory prayer. Making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is to say, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual believing, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. So his prayer for those believers was so that he can see them and he can speak the word of God, the mystery and other things concerning the grace administration to those believers and help them and bless them. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10. My apologies. Romans chapter 10. We're going to go in order of the books of the Bible, in case I make that mistake again. Romans chapter 10. Says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul did not hold any animosity towards Israel. He certainly had a lot of Judeans trying to hurt him. They tried to kill him. They tried to maim him. They tried to defy him in all ways. Yet his prayer to God was that Israel would get saved, born again. And it, so it helps in our outreach, too, of God's word. Let's go to chapter 12 of Romans. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The continuing instant means earnestly or steadfastly in prayer, or to be, prayer is supposed to be something that's just a major part of us, is to be woven in the very fabric of our lifestyle that we pray. We have certain things woven in the fabric of our lifestyle that we do all the time. One is we breathe. We've worked that one into our lifestyle. We eat, we drink, we sleep, we move. There's a lot of things we do that are just woven into the fabric of our life. All of them necessary to stay alive. Prayer is not necessary to stay alive, but there are a lot of things we've woven into the fabric of our lives. Prayer is supposed to be one of them. It's just supposed to be something we're steadfast in. It's not just not a request or a suggestion. It's actually a command. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And there are a lot of scriptures dealing with prayer. These are just a few of them. When we've seen these things, I just thought it would be really nice just to look at them, continue to place them within the depth of our minds and thinking. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verse 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. The helping together by prayer for us, and it's referring to Paul and company. You know, first, the whole chapter 1 talks about God's comfort, and it talks about, Paul brings up a lot of the things that they were going through as far as persecution from unbelievers, persecutions from religion, the world, and those prayers from the believers were helping Paul and company, because prayer has an effect. It has a great effect. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Prayer has an incredible effect. You know, chemistry is an amazing thing. Chemistry is based on the elements, or I think there's 32 of them, if I remember correctly, basic elements on Earth that man has figured out, that God put together. And chemists put together different combinations of these elements, and some of them are extremely volatile. When you put in two things, like they do this scientific thing for young kids, it's the volcano thing. You have a little cardboard thing, and you pour in, I think it's baking soda, and then you put in something else.
Vinegar.
And all of a sudden it erupts, looks like a volcano. That's a chemical reaction. Gennaro knows a lot about this, I'm sure, with his work with all those chemical things. You know, there's chemical reactions. Some are good, some are bad.
I use elements.
Yeah. So, prayer, when we pray, it does stuff. I don't understand it. I don't know if anybody knows. When we speak in tongues, what it actually is doing, physically doing. But we do know that there are incredible results from it. And prayer is not just like a wish list that, you know, you would make, oh, I wish this would happen. It's an actual physical, spiritual thing that happens. Which is one reason why all men of God throughout the entire Bible did it. Why Jesus Christ, the perfect man, anybody that could excuse himself from prayer would have been Jesus Christ. And look how much time he spent in prayer. A great example to us. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making your request with joy for your the reason for it, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What a heart. How blessed those believers were in the first century church that there was a man praying for their lives with joyfulness, not with, oh man, I got to pray for them again today, you know, but with a heart of joy and for the reasons, you know, that they would be blessed with staying in God's word and the greatness of what God's word has to offer. Verse 9 of chapter 19 of chapter 1. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he was talking about being in bonds in the Rome. And he says, I know this shall help turn to my salvation through your prayer. That prayer of those believers for Paul had an effect. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing except for the things you want to worry about. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, where prayer, if you've got something that's really doing you and stirring you up on the inside, getting anxious isn't going to help, but prayer will. Supplication will. Years ago, they used to have a stone. You could see them at different places at cash registers. I think it was in the 70s or 80s. Maybe it was later. It was called a worry stone, and they would sell them right by the cash register. It was just this little flat stone, and you'd stick it between your thumb and your index finger, and while you were worrying, you had this stone in your hand. And I remember, I was in the Word, and I used to laugh at that. I was like, hey, that worry stone isn't going to help anything, but prayer will. I just used to think there was I thought they were stupid, but somebody was buying because they kept them by the cash register, and it was there for quite a while. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Again, these are very familiar verses of Scripture to us, but again, these are examples to us. It's truth to our brains. Verse 3 of chapter 1. We give thanks to God the Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and the love that you have to all the saints. Verse 9, and here's one of the things they were praying for. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was part of their prayer that they had for those Colossae believers to gain an understanding of God's word, his will, and that they'd walk fruitful in that. And then later, we read earlier, Epaphras prayed fervently for those believers that they would stand perfect, complete in all the will of God, which is what a way to go. What a great thing to be able to do for one another. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just a terrific example to us of what we can do for one another and for believers around the country that we know and around the world and people we don't know. Chapter 1, verse 2, again, the same type of thing. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, these are the two times to pray, night and day. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your believing. So that prayer in being able to see him was going to help Paul get to be able to see them face to face. Chapter 5, verse 17. Here's a direct command. Pray without ceasing. And that pretty much sums it up. You know, very obvious that God wants us to pray. Pray without ceasing. And the reason is, it makes a difference. Chapter, let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Verse 1. This is showing the helpfulness it is in the free course of moving the word. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. If we want to really be involved with helping the word of God be spoken around the world, then prayer is a great part of it. We are not necessarily always in a position of being able to speak God's word 24 hours a day. Partly we sleep in at least 6 to 8 hours of it. But our prayers also have a great part in the movement of God's word around the world. And we get the privilege of having a part of that. Let's go lastly to James chapter 5. We looked at this a number of times in the last number of weeks. James chapter 5. And verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Passions referring to difficulties and trials of life. And, you know, he was a person just like us. You know, he woke up in the morning sometimes really tired. Sometimes he woke up in the morning feeling sick as a dog. Sometimes he woke up in the morning fine. he was a person. An actual human being. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Of course, this is by revelation. We can't just pray that God that it doesn't rain if we don't want it to rain, and pray that it does rain if we want. This was specific revelation. God told them there wasn't going to be any dew or rain until he said so, and gave Elijah the directive to say so to Ahab. He told the king, remember, he went up to the king and said, hey, I got rain or dew until I say so. He wasn't trying to be macho. He was simply carrying out what God had instructed him to do. And so every day he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, because he had to believe for that to happen. And then when God said, okay, we're switching here, it's going to rain, then he had to pray that it would rain. But both times, both scenarios, prayer had a lot to do with it. So even though prayer is invisible, we can hear our prayers, but we can't see our prayers. We can't see those words literally go direct to God. But prayer has a great, great effect. So much bigger than the eye can see. And I guess the longer I'm living life and the longer I'm in God's word, the more importance I see concerning prayer. It's a part of our lives that should just be, like I said earlier, in the very fabric of our way of living. And just speaking in tongues should be something we do just all through the day. So it's great to keep our hearts and minds into what prayer is, and to do it. It has a major effect, and I don't know what life would be like for our lives if it wasn't for people praying for us. I attribute in part the reason why I heard God's word is my great aunt, who was a missionary in Taiwan for 30-some years. She was dedicated to speaking God's word. She did a number of books on translation. She was the first one to translate the Bible into Taiwanese, if that's the name of their language.
Yes.
She had a love for God. And I was her nephew, her great-nephew, and I'm sure she prayed for all her family. I was the only one that got in the word. But I, you know, once I heard God's word, I realized she probably prayed for me, and I bet you that had an influence on my life. We just don't know how big it is. But we do see the great things in God's word. But again, it is invisible. I mean, we speak in tongues, we can hear it, but we don't see the chemical reactions, so to speak, of what's going on. But it is big. I think there's enough evidence just from what we read today that we know God says we should do it, and he wants us to do it. And so it's great to continue to encourage one another. So next week, if we're not gathered, I'd like to look at a record in God's word that is incredible of the turn of events that God was able to pull off and the prayer that was involved to turn black into white and white into black. And it's just an incredible thing in history, and prayer had a lot to do with it. And it's encouraging to see how God worked out circumstances. So we're going to look at that next week. So I'm thankful that we do get to be with one another and that we pray for one another. What a privilege it is to have faithful believers pray for you. You know, we're all grateful for that and thankful for that. So, and of course, we all know the George Mueller, the man who helped so many orphans in the 1800s, and he did an amazing work for God, as God's kids and people who had such needs as little kids. And he did it by way of prayer. He never asked for money. The entire time that he supported thousands, sometimes there were up to a couple thousand kids at the same time that he was housing, feeding, educating, caring for, loving, and then developing them into young men and women who were going to, you know, go into society. That's a lot of stuff. And he never asked for money. And he said he did it all by way of prayer. Great example to us in modern day as far as somebody who accomplished so much for God, and prayer was his biggest lever. Really amazing. So, it is a big deal, and I'm thankful that we get to pray for one another, and it's just so important. We want to be able to stand in the gap with prayer in circumstances that we are aware of, and in circumstances we may not know what they are, but we can still speak in tongues about it.